Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org.
We have an invitation for you. We want to invite you to the first ever Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We want to invite you to join us for a three-day retreat of being given to. We know and live the beautiful challenge of motherhood. We know the feelings of aloneness, of inadequacy, of fear, of weariness that so often weigh us down in the midst of all it means to be a mother. We've designed this retreat with your needs in mind. Your need for connection with like-minded women, your need for gentleness of spiritual formation, and ultimately your need to be strengthened for the task of motherhood.
How long has it been since someone, anyone really, poured into you? We know the answer. Too long, if ever. As a mom, you give and give and give until there's nothing left. So come to where we live in Bend, Oregon, a place of startling beauty, a place to come away from it all. Come with your best friend, your sister, your mom, come together or come alone. It was Dallas Willard who said, if you don't come apart for a while, you'll come apart after a while.
So come apart with us for a while. Join us October 5th through 7th here in Bend, Oregon. All the details are in the show notes.
Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Today on the show, we have Ryan and Annie Miller. This is a wonderful episode full of a very real and very true story from their life specifically. Ryan and Annie lead a nonprofit called Share the Struggle, which is an incredible nonprofit that you'll hear about in the episode today, to help people across the board with mental health and to connect really good help and therapists with people in need. And we could not be more thankful to know them as friends. We sat down and had a wonderful conversation specifically around their story of miscarriage and loss and all the different dynamics, what to do in those situations, and specifically their story. There's a ton of resources in the show notes today, so I really encourage you to check out the show notes and really go check out Share the Struggle. They did such an incredible job with this resource, and Elizabeth and I have been so happy to partner with them in different ways to help this message get out to the world and to help people. So I know that you're going to love this conversation. Enjoy today's episode with Ryan and Annie Miller. Ryan and Annie Miller, welcome to the podcast. We are so glad to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is a fun time for lots of reasons. Selfishly, this was just a good hang time because Elizabeth and I got to hang out with you guys in San Diego in your home, in your beautiful home, which you're sitting in now, and hang out with your family. And it was a really sweet time. And I just wanted to say, selfishly, I'm glad to connect with you guys because we get to just hear more of your story on a firsthand basis. So I'm really excited about that. for anybody that doesn't know you guys, we just want to take a minute and introduce you because you're our friends. But you became our friends in a fun way because you lead a really rad ministry, a couple of them. So before we like get into your story, which we're going to talk a ton about, I would love to just kind of hear maybe from your lips, Ryan and Annie, kind of the ministry stuff you guys are doing and some of the fun stuff. Dude with Good News is one of them, and then Share the Struggle. So maybe just share that. And then maybe Annie, could you give us a highlight of the little ones and the little people that represent who you guys are and are an extension of you?
Yep.
Yeah. So we started Share the Struggle back in 2019, and really it failed quite a bit. We tried to do kind of like match.com for Christian mentorship, where we'd match someone who was struggling with something with someone online who had been through that struggle. And we tried to train up these mentors and how to deal with these struggling young people. And it didn't work because we got flooded. There were just thousands of people who flooded the website saying, "Hey, I want to connect with a mentor." And we just couldn't recruit enough mentors. And then these mentors would get on these calls with these struggling people and just didn't really have the tools to know how to deal with deep trauma or anxiety or grief. And so we said, why don't we pivot and go from kind of like a match.com model to why don't we do masterclass meets alpha, if you're familiar with alpha or celebrate recovery, something like that. And let's take experts. Let's take experts like Dr. Caroline Leaf and Matthias Barker and Rebecca Lyons, who I know you guys have had some of them on your podcast, and let's film them. Let's film them on how do you heal from different things like anxiety and miscarriage and trauma and grief and all of these different struggles. And then how do you train people on how to deal with these struggles? So let's say you've got a friend who's battling panic attacks. What do you say to them in that moment? And so we started creating all these courses, and to be honest, didn't really know what we were creating. It was just kind of like, well, I think the church needs to step in a significant way to the mental health crisis, which we really believe is the missions moment for our decade. And we're kind of just creating a bunch of courses. But now we've kind of seen what the Lord's created, which is not just kind of like a course catalog, but almost like a full service mental health platform for, from a Christian perspective. And so the most recent thing we've been doing, which has really been phenomenal. We're pretty blown away at what the Lord's doing through this is basically just gathering really good Christian therapists and experts and coaches and training them on our model and then giving them access to these courses and then connecting them with people online. And we'll charge people for it because we got to pay the therapists, but it's way cheaper than traditional therapy and we think it's better. And what we're seeing is when you really can infuse prayer and inner healing prayer and inviting the Holy Spirit into a session where yes, you're using cognitive behavioral therapy and yes, you're using all your training and yes, you're listening deeply and all these things, but you're inviting the Lord in as well. Yes. And you're giving practical steps like, okay, now that we've learned this about, you know, your childhood with your dad, what are we going to do about it? What are the steps towards forgiveness? What are the steps towards healing and restoration? And so clearly I'm very excited about it because we're just hearing stories. We're hearing stories of people that are dealing with everything from miscarriage to, you know, deep trauma, and they're getting help. And so it feels nice to be able to equip people with resources, not just from a content standpoint, you know, in our video courses. And now we have a bunch of audio meditations and scripture meditations and stuff like that. But actually connecting them with someone who cares, because it's hard to find a good Christian therapist. You guys know they're, you know, and we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to find them. And now we're getting this into a bunch of churches too, and businesses and families and couples. And so that's what we do at Share the Struggle. And then from that, I just, you know, we got on TikTok early on and just like started talking about, you know, this was back when everyone thought it was still like for 14-year-olds exclusively.
They were so wrong.
Yeah, so wrong. And I'm kicking myself for not getting on it sooner, but I saw one video go viral. I think I was talking about how to get clean from pornography. And this was for Share the Struggle. And I was just like, man, what if I just started preaching the gospel on here? And so I remember, this is not smart for me to have done, but I was at a red light and I just pulled up TikTok and made a new profile and then like pulled my car over and made my first video just talking about Jesus. Dude with Good News. Yeah. That's what literally on a whim, I just named it. I'm just like, I'm just going to name it
in the moment.
In the moment. Yeah. And I mean, it's, I think there's been, over 300 million video views since in, you know, a little over 2 years. And so it's been pretty phenomenal to see what the Lord's done. with just me and a cell phone in my car. And so that's been a cool ministry as well. And that's kind of helped with Share the Struggle. And so God's been really good to us.
And Annie, yeah, tell us about your family. Yeah, we want to know about the fam as well.
Yes. So we have Jack, who is almost 4. We have Lucy, who is 2. And Hallie is 7 months now. So apparently we don't use birth control, but apparently we don't know how this works and they're all very close in age, but it's really fun. It keeps me busy and quite the sanctifying process, but they're really sweet.
One thing I want to say, and I know am I cutting you off, Elizabeth?
No,
do you want, okay, is just the Share the Struggle stuff and the ministry aspect. Like, it's so cool because you guys are such a team in this. Like, obviously I know that you have your own whole series specifically on miscarriages, which we're going to talk about today. And really just thankful that you guys are open and willing to talk about it, but also just really incredible to see, you know, you guys come together and put this together for so many people, whether that's with others or even yourselves. Such a cool thing, such a neat opportunity. I know that's how we cross paths, and we're so honored to be able to partner with you guys at all and do some stuff with you guys. With Share the Struggle on the Joyful Struggle of Parenting, which we
coming out next month.
It's coming out next month. That's good to now we know. Now that great, I was going to ask you, but now we know. So it's just like when we talked about it, and we all, Elizabeth and I, immediately were like, oh, this resonates with us so much.
Well, in full transparency, maybe not we, was in a season of basically saying no to everything, every opportunity that came our way. I just was feeling like maxed out on every level, and my health hasn't been great. And as soon as Brooke told me about it and told me about what you guys do and just like showed me some of it, I immediately was like, I don't even know what it is they want us to do, but yes, like this is...
Sweet.
This is such a need. And even what you were describing of when a therapist has all of their training and all they know about psychology, but deeply knows Jesus and is doing inner healing prayer and all of those things, that has been like the most transformative thing in my life. And I've had a therapist who was just highly gifted in that way and who's now my mentor. I was just at her house right before being here. And I just feel like, gosh, we need more Sallys in the world. I wish everybody had a Sally. So obviously it's not everybody's going to be able to afford or find a therapist like that, that they can meet with regularly. But you guys are bridging the gap for the people who that's not a reality for them. And there isn't somebody great in their area. You guys are meeting such a huge, huge need. And I hope that God just like multiplies it and multiplies it, because I think every human on the planet needs something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it. I think there's a great injustice happening right now where people are struggling more than ever.
Yeah.
And therapy is really expensive. Like, it's pretty bougie to get a therapist now. Like, shoot, we can't really afford a therapist at the moment.
Not every week, really.
No, it's like $200 a pop is just, that's a lot of money, you know, $800 a month. Yeah. And a lot of therapists take insurance, and then finding a good one. And so I think that's what makes me really passionate about this is regardless of the financial situation of the struggling person, we have something available.
Yeah.
Whether it's them connecting with a therapist or them connecting it to their church. We're seeing God do incredible things as people. You don't have to be an expert to lead a Share the Struggle group at your church. You just have to, you know how to press play on the video and open your discussion guide. Like just be a normal human being that can listen to others. And so we're seeing God do incredible things in churches as well, and really offloading a lot of the weight of the pastors too, who are saying, I don't know what to do with all these people. Well, they're either able to connect them with a coach, or they're able to start a Share the Struggle group. And so, we're excited. And I think that's a lot of the reason we're excited, is just because seeing that I really do believe the mental health crisis is the missions moment of our decade. And the first scripture Jesus quoted was, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. And then he sent us out to do the same thing. And so as the church, I think there are fewer things that there are not many things that we can do more in line with the heart of Jesus than find someone in the middle of their deepest pain and wrap them up and give them practical solutions and a listening ear and to let them know that they're not alone. And I know that's what you guys do at Intentional as well. That's why we were so excited to collaborate on the Joyful Struggle of Parenting course. And so it's just an honor to be on this podcast and appreciative that you guys are in our corner at Share the Struggle and excited to chat more.
Well, we're honored, simply honored. And speaking of sharing the struggle, I think this is a great segue for you guys to just share your struggle here, right? Like, I love, last note on the share the struggle thing is the even the title, even the idea, sharing from a place of vulnerability and pain rather than strength and success. I mean, we have so many people in our generation and time saying, just do these five things and you'll defeat this. And, you know, and really at the end of the day, like, man, I know that those hearts are usually good with trying to help, but that honestly doesn't always help. Sometimes just sitting with somebody and hearing somebody else's struggle and how they were able to walk through it with the power of the Holy Spirit and team and unity and a group of people helping them through is sometimes the most healing. So just appreciate that just as a highlight. And so I'd love to just, could you guys just walk us through your story? You know, obviously we've kind of mentioned it a little bit, but kind of where all of this started, and we'll ask questions along the way, but we'd love for you to just share with us your journey.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
So it was my first pregnancy that ended in miscarriage. We were...
Do you want to start with that, or do you want like our full story? What were you asking there, just for clarification?
Oh, you can take it wherever you want. You can choose your own adventure.
Sorry, but you think I was, wouldn't mean to go.
Oh, I mean, I think it'd be really long if we started from like dating, engagement.
Sure, start us from first baby. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So we were married for about 3 years, and then we got pregnant, and it had been, you know, we kind of just got done telling all our family. So we shared all of our exciting news to my parents and his parents and our siblings, and it was right around Christmas time. So we were actually at my parents' house.
And we had just gotten in a fight.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. You mean before I got pregnant?
Yeah, before.
Yeah. Yeah, actually around whether we should start having kids yet. He was like, I feel like if I can just finish this project, then we can start. And it's like, turns out there have been plenty of projects since then. So that So yeah, I was like, oh, I just want to be a mom. And, but yeah, so pretty soon after that, I think it was literally the next day, I took a pregnancy test and found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
So
I thought she was kidding too. Because we were moving into this place, right? So why were we staying at my parents' house?
I don't know.
We were staying at my parents' house. Wild.
I don't know.
For some reason. And, yeah, that's right. And just had this fight about when we're going to get pregnant, and she walks into the bathroom holding a pregnancy test and it's positive. And at first I hit it, and then I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. We were both just laughing.
The timing was just hilarious. And then I'll never forget that night. I'm not being able to fall asleep. So excited, because I felt like my entire identity had just shifted. Like I just went from Ryan, who does all these different things, And, you know, I'd been a baseball player and I had been in ministry and then, you know, been a pastor and filmmaker. And like, I wore all these hats. And then it was just the most radical shift of I'm a dad, like I'm going to be a daddy. And just like sitting there in bed, giddy, scared, and feeling again, this crazy shift in my identity and my priorities in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was the timing was just funny, but we headed to Wisconsin for Christmas and we had all these cute ways of sharing the news. And it was basically about 2 weeks in, after we found out, is kind of when things started to turn. So I was like, I think I was at Target, you know, the memory is always so vivid mm-hmm. when something like this happens. But, I started basically showing signs of something's wrong, started bleeding basically. And, so I called my OB and she said, oh, just keep an eye on it. If it progresses, it gets to be more, or more pain. And yeah, pretty much that night, is when we miscarried. And, I kind of knew, you know, I knew that it was happening, but it was extremely painful. And, you know, the physical loss is just pretty gnarly to go through. Mm-hmm. And so we were experiencing that at my parents' house and right before Christmas. And pretty much just that whole next day, just were kind of both of us off and on crying and kind of in shock. And, you know, after all the excitement of sharing the news, just kind of trying to come to terms with that this was happening and that we had lost the baby. I don't know if you want to share a little bit about what that first day looked like and our friends coming into town.
Well, I think to the process of sharing that you're pregnant with someone, as you guys know, is just such a fun process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting, you know, we got my dad a little slugger shirt, you know, and just mm-hmm. like all these things that, that my dad broke down crying in tears of joy.
Wow.
You know? And seeing the look on your parents' face and then telling our best friends and just the planning, you know, going to Bye Bye Baby. And like, it's just the whole process of this dream and this life coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And then just in a matter of a few hours being like, oh no, this is not happening. I think it's a loss for sure of the baby, but it's much more than that too. It's a different type of loss than I think exists on this planet, where it was a loss of a dream. It was a loss of that identity that I had switched into and you had switched into as a mom and a dad. Mm-hmm. And it's a loss of someone you never knew. Like we're grieving this person we never got to know. And it's a loss of that celebration. And so I think when you first started bleeding, I like literally started Googling it. I don't know if that's too graphic, but I started Googling it and, I'm like, this is what it is. So I think I knew about an hour before you did, cause I wanted to, you know, at least like let it play out. And then I think there's confusion that sets in too. Cause I was like, I don't know how to deal with this now. So I called my personal assistant who I knew had a miscarriage and she walked me through, here's what Annie needs to hear in this moment. Mm. Here's how you can for her. So I'm so grateful I had that, but I know a lot of people don't have that. And then it was this weird deal where we had already planned our best friends were coming into town and they were coming into town to, you know, that we were going to be celebrating and going out and having a good time. And, there was one night, you can speak to this night too. I know, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're out at this restaurant and, you know, we have a very unique friendship with this couple. We're like, I'm best friends with a dude. You're best friends with the wife. And so like, it's this perfect thing. And we got to this restaurant and I just got drunk. Like I literally just got drunk. And I remember in my drunkenness, having this weird thought of like looking over at Annie and just instantly knowing something wasn't right. And like having this felt tension of like deep grief and despair, but it was weird. Cause again, I didn't know this person that I'm grieving. Hmm. It's not my body that had this loss. And then also like I'm out drunk at a restaurant with my best friend laughing. Is this okay? And I think that is this okay followed for a while.
Well, I think, yeah, that night I was sitting there, like, first of all, there was like live music and Christmas trees and everyone was having just a normal dinner, but it was so not normal for me, for us. Like, I didn't feel normal. It felt really odd to even just be at a restaurant having dinner while inside I had all this anxiety and, you know, dealing with the pain of what just happened. So that was really a strange aspect of like those following days and weeks of, I guess life just keeps going on, you know, the sun still comes up, everybody's going to work, everyone does what they usually do. Like, but we have this thing that just happened and a lot of people don't even know what just happened, and just carrying that and kind of feeling like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to just like keep functioning now. but really giving, you know, we tried to kind of give ourselves space to grieve and not rush into like our schedules or whatever we had going on. Especially, well, I guess it was the holidays and everything, but just, yeah, rushing into life as usual.
So right after that, did you go and have to, you're sharing this joyful news with your family, everyone's rejoicing, everyone's excited. And then how soon after that moment of sharing to the moment of loss, what was the time between that?
The time between that was only about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Right? Or did I found out?
Yeah, about that.
No, we had found out. And then, so I think it was actually only like 3 days because we got to my parents' house.
With your parents.
With my parents. Yeah, I guess we had told, it was a little bit like we told his parents. And then once we got to Wisconsin, we told my parents. So that one was maybe 3 days before.
Oh, wow.
And so turn around and tell them what, just kidding, you know, what actually happened. So, yeah, I think it was just one aspect of our friends coming into town was, you know, I just want to say that like that was really just them being with us was really, really healing and comforting. It wasn't even really anything that they said, but that was just a huge comfort for them to just be sitting in the pain with us and in the loss with us because they haven't experienced it, but that doesn't matter. Like they, you could just tell I think that one of them was even crying too. So I remember that being like a huge part of the process of kind of starting to grieve and having them with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, two things come to mind just as you were talking about sitting at the restaurant and feeling like, is this like okay to even be here and to be, you know, to what you were saying, Ryan, to be laughing and like, can I be out having a good time? You know, I think that the interesting and isolating thing about when you've experienced a significant loss is it changes you forever. Like you will never be the same. And it's something that's like marked your life. But when you go back out into like your real life, unless somebody else has experienced something catastrophic at the same time, everybody else is like, life just keeps going on. Like they're not changed in the same way that you've just been changed. And yet you're kind of expected to just jump right back into life as it was. So I'm just glad that you brought that up because I think that is a particularly odd isolating, kind of disorienting feeling when you've experienced a significant loss. And like that learning to hold the tension of joy and sorrow is kind of an art form over time. Like sometimes we're just all the way in the sorrow or pretending the sorrow is not there and just trying to fake the joy, or, but there's so much beauty as time goes on of holding both in the same breath, you know? Yeah. But that's right. Like a weird dance at first when you, especially if you haven't had a significant loss like that before, if it's the first time. But then also, Ryan, you said something I'd love for you to unpack a little bit more. You said that you had a coworker that you could call and ask, like, what should I say to Annie right now? Like, what would be helpful? I'm so curious, mm-hmm. what did she say, or what did you find was helpful? And like, I'm thinking of like, if a husband's listening whose wife is experiencing this right now or did recently, like what was helpful in how you could come?
Yeah, I think as men, a lot of times we just want to fix things. Yeah. And I'm so glad that Rochelle is her name. Rochelle gave me the advice. You just need to sit with her and hold her. Mm. And I think, as guys, we instantly go into fix it mode. Like, how do I make her feel better right now? Mm-hmm. Which actually isn't attuning to her in any way. It's more about you, you know, how do I feel better? So, or how do I make her feel better so I can feel better about myself as like the leader here or whatever. And, yeah, we literally sat in bed and like no TV shows, I don't think. We just like cried back and forth. And I think that was really, really important for her to see me crying and really important for her to see, for me to actually share that I feel weird about this loss. I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And to just like let her into my emotions and to feel those emotions deeply. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, this was not planned, but I was having a conversation with four of my friends Saturday at the Tongs? Yeah, on Saturday, we went to our friend's house and we started talking about miscarriage because one of the guys had just had a miscarriage. And around the group, all of the guys' wives had miscarriages before. And it was so interesting seeing of us four guys, such different approaches. The guy whose wife had just had a miscarriage, he was wrecked and was talking about how much it had wrecked him. And one of the other guys was like, yeah, well, you know, it's he's a doctor. He's like, well, it just means there's something genetically wrong with the baby. So in some senses, it's fine. Just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, all logic. You missed it.
He's like, you do know it's not the woman's fault at all, right? Like this is all like built into like genetics and stuff. And I'm over here like, wow, this is so interesting. I got to bring this up on the podcast on Monday. It's like just differences of how people grieve. And it doesn't mean that the doctor's grieving style was any worse than the grieving style of my buddy who was devastated. And I was devastated. Mm-hmm. And so I think it looks different. And so I think the other thing that I think was helpful in the moment was, I don't know if Rochelle told me this or not, or if I did this from my own research, because I started researching like, how do you help your wife through miscarriage?
That's a good thing to Google. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, I do think it was actually very helpful for both of us to look at some of the statistics and to look at how common it is. And yes, that it is not the woman's fault at all. Cause we were having people say to us like, oh, do you think it's because the dog jumped on you?
Oh,
and,
no.
And we can talk about this in a minute, but like people say some pretty dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And so
yep. We know
how to deal with that. We know. Dumb
stuff. Like, yeah, totally.
So, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Just, I mean, that time, like just sitting in bed with Ryan though, and just having him comforting me and seeing him be sad with me, was actually like such a sacred time together. Like as husband and wife, it's something you're going through together. It was both of our baby, you know? And so it was actually this really intimate, just sacred time together where I felt like protective over that time because you know, I didn't want to rush out and really tell anyone else right away, but just kind of be in that together. So
Yeah. And I think that it's such a, as you know, as we created the miscarriage course together, with another couple, CZ and Monique Zachary, and just really dove into some of the statistics and just saw how oftentimes, I mean, the miscarriage is devastating, but I think what our culture does post miscarriage is also very devastating.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times, you know, and it's just a matter of the circumstances where the woman doesn't want to tell her employer what just happened, because why would you? It's a personal thing. And so she doesn't take off work. And so you don't actually adequately rest. And then there's, you know, questions of, you know, and you can speak more to this because it, you know, it was felt by you of like, did I do something wrong? Am I just not cut out for this? And and so the confusion, like I said, the miscarriage is it's a loss different than any others. And the stats show that 1 year after 35% of women who experience a miscarriage are clinically depressed. And 3 years later, it's 15% of women. And that that's just really sad. I mean, that's those are horrible statistics. And we know that that's not because of the actual physical miscarriage. It's because of the trauma that does not get addressed, the subsequent trauma and the isolation. And so I think that's one thing that we, again, we did our own research and we said, we are going to be outspoken about this. We're going to tell people about this. And that's not for everyone. I mean, everyone has to, you know, ask the Lord what they should do. But for us, we made a point like, no, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk together and we're going to be very communicative about our emotions.
Yeah. With trusted people first.
That's
correct.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. But you know, so many people wait till the second trimester to even share that they're pregnant. And then if they do, like, just in case something goes wrong, well, then when something does go wrong, you know, they're all alone in it. And have to just, or if they want to share, it's like, oh, you were pregnant, but now you're not, like, you know, no one knows. But that's kind of common to not even announce it till for a while.
And oftentimes for that very reason, because something could go wrong, you know, which just shows you, man, we live in such an isolated culture that like we would want to self-protect that much to not have to tell somebody when something goes wrong. You know?
And have to comfort you and
I've noticed now, talking to some of my friends who get pregnant and they're like, oh, don't tell anyone, we're not telling one to the second trimester. Sometimes I'll try to like delicately dig in and be like, oh tell me why, like what's the thought behind there, and there is no real logical thought behind it. It's more just like, so we're not, you know, so in case something happens, and it's like, oh, okay, then what? Like, what is the not telling you for you?
And it's like, then you have to tell people and then untell people.
Right? They don't untell people.
They
share that something hard happened, but
Annie, I would be curious, you know, it was your first pregnancy. Did you have a lot of fear after that of, what if this happens again and again? What if I can't have children? What if, like, were there a lot of what ifs for you after that being your first experience of being a mom?
For sure. Yeah. And even in my, then when I did get pregnant with Jack, it was a very fear-filled pregnancy because it was kind of almost like that loss trained me to almost look for something to go wrong. So, you know, always checking, always making sure that, that I wasn't bleeding, you know, making sure that nothing seemed off. But always kind of wondering, okay, like, I think maybe, you know, we'll just get to the second trimester. Okay. Now let's make it to 20 weeks and the anatomy scan looking good. Like then it's still not enough. I need to know like that, you know, he made it to however many, like 28 weeks, and that he would survive if he was born right now early, or like, it just, it was so, there was a lot of fear there. But to answer your question, like right afterwards, for sure, you know, that what if my dream of being a mom, you know, come true. And it felt so far, far off, like out of reach after that happened.
We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you. I'm wondering, you know, as we're talking, one of the values that I know Elizabeth and I have, and I know Phil and Diane share this too. One of the reasons we've never talked about miscarriages and on the podcast is specifically because we try not to talk about things that we ourselves haven't, at least in some way, processed. And so,
or experienced
personally. Lived. And so I know that that hasn't been our experiences. We've had more struggles outside of the womb than inside, or, you know, that ours has been more external in that sense with our little ones, and Phil and Diane haven't either experienced miscarriage. And so, my curiosity to just kind of shift some of our conversation, and thank you for sharing the story part element of it. But my curiosity would be, for those that are listening, say they've experienced this in the last month, 2 months, year, even longer, or if it's a friend of somebody listening, what are some of the things that you have been able to, that you would just be able to comfort others with, things that you've learned or experienced, or say, hey, you know, like, be really aware of this, or this might not seem to be something that you thought was a big deal, but this was actually a big deal. Would you be able to kind of just take us there? Like, what are some of the things that people that are listening today can be encouraged by and or directed by from your guys' struggle?
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is just that you are not alone. Like, this is so common and not talked about enough, but so many women experience this exact same thing. And I think it's 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. And so just to know that, yeah, you're not alone. This was not your fault. And it's that common feeling of guilt where, did I do something wrong? You know, was it something I did, or I was just too stressed, or did I work out too hard? Did I, whatever you think of, just to know that it was not your fault. And it's a 100% a real loss, no matter how far along you were. So, like, yes, you don't, you know, and maybe you don't have children yet after experiencing this, but just to know that you are a mother, you are a father, because you that was a baby, and you don't have this kid sitting there outside of the womb here with you, but like, you still are a mother and can just, yeah, embrace that and know that when you do go to a baby shower or places where it's like kind of in your face that, yeah, that's not me. Just to know that, yeah, that it was a real baby and a real loss.
Yeah.
I think it's so wild too, that the stats show that 25% of women will have a miscarriage. That's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. that it's that high a number and yet talked about so little.
Yeah.
And I think that almost points to some of the, I don't know if the right word is shame or how to best describe it, but I do know that it is this weird dynamic where the fact that there is this shame and this stigma or this weirdness around it, because again, it's a loss of someone you didn't know, leads to a lot of the suffering post miscarriage that people are feeling. And I think, like, we know as believers that God meets us in the middle of our deepest struggles and deepest pains. Mm-hmm. We also know that deepest connection and community is found when people rally around that pain and that struggle. And I think the biggest injustice and the biggest missed opportunity, I think, even in the church, around miscarriage, is that it's not spoken about much.
Yeah.
Like, when you hear 1 in 4 women are experiencing this deep level of heartbreak along with their husbands as well. And the extended family as well. I know for my parents, it was devastating, and yet it's not spoken about that much. That's why we were really passionate about creating a course about it.
Yeah.
because it's so common and so needed that women know this was not your fault. Yeah. No, you're not alone in this. And yes, God can meet you in the middle of that deep struggle and create beauty from it. I mean, our kids are literally screaming, tantruming. I don't know if you can hear that.
We actually can't. That's amazing.
my mom's out there right on cue, just tantrum screaming, just like reminders that God can take what was intended for evil and use it for good. And yeah. He can bring beauty from your most difficult moments.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Yeah, and He's such a God of redemption. I mean, look, you guys went through this horrible loss and will carry it with you the rest of your lives. But look what He's birthed out of it. And even just the miscarriage course alone, like being a resource to be able to point people to because of the story that you walked through. And you would not have that story. You wouldn't be able to have a course like that. It would not hit the same way had you not lived it yourselves. And I think that's just the beauty of God's redemption, that we get to see this side of heaven. And sometimes we don't always get to see it, this side of heaven, but it's a gift when we get to. I would also be curious, you know, maybe for somebody listening who hasn't experienced this, but obviously with the stats being what they are, we know somebody who has. So what are things that are not helpful to say to somebody who has just gone through this? And what are some things that maybe are helpful? You mentioned like your friends just being present with you, just being with you. They didn't have to have experienced it, but they were just faithfully with you. And then I know we've all experienced well-meaning, good-hearted people say things that subconsciously just make them feel better and us feel worse when we're suffering.
Yeah.
So what are some things maybe to be aware of to not say that aren't helpful?
Yeah. There's a lot. No, that just, I think any, at least .. at least you were able to get pregnant.
Yes.
At least you weren't further along. You were only however many weeks.
That's,
you
know, good.
Yeah. At least you have other kids, like for the people who experience miscarriage in between. Yeah.
Right. Right. At least you already have one or two. Those ones come to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anything that minimizes it or tries to put the Band-Aid on the situation or make it like, oh, okay, this is better than you're making it, I think, which is what we often try to do, which is, and it's well-intentioned. We want to make people feel better. And so, you know, well, you wouldn't want a baby if you knew there was something wrong with it. And, or did you know that actually like 1 in 4 women experience miscarriage? This is really common. It's like, okay, it's common doesn't mean that it's not deeply painful. Or there's some really bad ones that I've heard, like, well, do you think it was because of your age? Oof. And it's like, oh my goodness, man. Like,
yeah. I think just focusing on empathy is really it. It's just empathy. I guess, it's not even so much what you say. It's more, I think, your presence with them and just knowing that they're thinking of you, that they're just hanging out with you or feeling that with you. You know, this must be so hard. Or even say, I don't even know what to say, but just know that I'm with you, you know?
Yeah.
Or even, you know, and we actually have a full training on this at Share the Struggle of like listening training. Mm. So it's so funny because we actually will like act it out and like do role play with people.
Yes.
And these are pastors. These are like lead pastors and people that are like supposed to be good at this.
Yeah.
And they just instantly go into fix it mode and instantly start talking. And really the best thing they could have said in that moment is just like, wow. And then just hold silence.
That's it.
For another 10 minutes or another 10 seconds. And then just say, tell me more or just say more. Or like Annie said, like, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. And then you just sit in silence again. And typically what people are going to do is, they're not only going to feel really heard and feel like, wow, I have a friend who's present with me and attuning to my needs. They're actually going to say more because you just go, wow. And then you sit there, they're going to go, yeah. And then they're going to take it a level deeper and where they wouldn't have taken it a level deeper if they didn't know that you were ready there with a container ready to hold whatever they're about to say.
Yeah.
People oftentimes are just questioning on the other side of the conversation. Does this person have the container to hear all of my stuff right now? And if you just look deeply in their eyes and you actually feel what they're feeling, and maybe you even ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say right now? And oftentimes what he whispers to me is just like, just don't say anything and say, wow, no more. And then just sit there with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that I think is really important about that is to remember, like, even that the thing I'm thinking of right now is that reality of tell me more and just listening. That's exactly what the Father does with us, right? Like that's exactly, there's a lot of the times that God doesn't just, when we're praying, when we're processing, he does the same to us. And it's that very fact of listening that brings so much healing. And there's so much like now stats, like you're saying, there's so much stats about that. Even by the His facial presence. Expressions you make while you're listening to somebody can be absolute, like healing in a deep way. You know, so there's so much of that even that we're able to track now and understand. So, yeah, I want to bless all of what you just said and say yes, because it's so funny that you have the role playing thing around listening, because it is that foreign that we need actual, tangible, almost elementary style, you know, not rules around it, but like ideas around it. And so. I love that you said that. And I think for anybody listening, if this is like encouraging you and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to know more. I know this conversation will only get us so far, but that's why I'm so glad you have this resource on Share the Struggle. And if they go to the website and all that, there's the course is it titled Miscarriage Course? Is that what it's titled or was it titled?
Yeah, it's called Miscarriage Course. I think, I think healing after miscarriage is the title, I think. And it's just sharedstruggle.org. And then if you guys are wanting further resources or to connect with someone who's an expert, you can go click coaching on sharedthestruggle.org. Or honestly, you can just email us, just team@sharedthestruggle.org, and we'll answer any questions that you might have. Yeah,
we'll put all of that in the show notes. And you guys, I just want to say on behalf of Elizabeth and I, and Elizabeth, feel free to share anything you want as well, but just want to say thank you. Thank you for opening up your life and your story and just really firsthand perspective of what this process has been like. And thank you for even coaching us for those who might even say kind of the wrong thing and the well-meaning person that's trying to make you feel better about a very terrible thing. You know, Annie, you said that. I think the at least thing that I'm pretty present to that, but I think there's just moments where even my disposition is like, I just don't want them to feel bad. So you try to add something really quick to just help them feel better or what you think is feel better. And what a good reminder to all of us to just be present, to listen, to love, to be present to people in their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. We couldn't be more happy with this conversation. And anybody that's listening, go check out Share the Struggle. We'll make sure all the things you just mentioned, Ryan, are in the show notes, so people can either email, get connected with the coach, or learn more at Share the Struggle. But you guys, enjoy those crazy ones outside. I'm sure they're jumping on a trampoline or something. And thank you.
Sounds about right.
Ends up happening.
If it's, well, you guys are in San Diego, so it's a pretty normal, like it's consistent all year long. So
yeah, this is what people do here.
This is what people do. All right, you guys, thank you so much for this combo. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.